I just wanted to say how especially blessed I am to have Kurt coming. He's been having a lot of stuff happen. This last few months has been a crazy period of time for Kurt. But here he is, ready, willing, and even anxious and happy to be coming and sharing God's word with you, because it's just inside of him, and he just got to let it out. So today, as Kurt comes to let it out, let's let him know how much we appreciate it. Come on, stand up and give Kurt a little bit of encouragement as he comes.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I consider this an honor every time I get a chance to say anything with phrases about Jesus in it, God in it, especially when it comes where you can encourage people and feel like that you know for absolute certainty that this is what God has for you to say. And everything that's happened here today, as I share with you, you're going to think that we traded notes with people. You're going to think Mark saw this and that Tim was, they have no idea what I'm going to speak about. I don't either. No, that's not. I don't know where it'll end up exactly. I know where it's aimed to end up. But I had a couple of little tidbits I was going to share with you as nuggets before I get started, but I'm going to forego that because I really sense that God wants to do, I know he's doing things in my life that I've never seen before and that I've needed. And during this time that Tim talked about a lot of stuff happening, I've discovered a lot about myself that I frankly don't like. Some things I act like a little toddler who don't have his toy, and I'm really mad and really, really mad. And then I lay down, and at night when your head settles on the pillow and you begin to review the events of the day, and I've never laid on my pillow before, and I don't know if you can see my face, but this happened. You go. All by myself, I thought, what am I doing? What's the deal? Because I'm just human. We're all human beings. We're beings created in the image of God and all that very true, very precious spiritual truth. He loves us more than his own life because he gave it for us. What a thing that is to think about. But that doesn't stop us from living in the world right now where we're still subject to stuff. The biggest thing we're subject to here by far and away is physical death. Our bodies start, scientists tell us we start decaying from the time we're born. There's a reason for that. Won't go into the Adam and Eve and the fall and all that stuff. I would kind of like to know why over time people used to live 900 years. What's up with that? Thinking about where we're at now, heaven sounded a lot sweeter now than it ever did, right? But I learned a lot about myself, and the last couple of days when Tim texted me and said, do you have a word for us? And I said, yep. And then I said, well, the word I have is little, is it, what is this, Lord? Because I knew it was something, Lord, when he revealed it to me. Because it's a word for me. It's about comfort. And if you want a title to this, we're going to call it The God of All Comfort. And Tim mentioned that just before he sat down about encouraging and comforting people. We're going to dig into that word a little bit because it got dug in to me because I've needed comfort these past weeks here. And as I started praying about it and going to my library at home, I've got all these theological books and stuff I've collected over the years. And it's like God took me to the right places to read the right things to trigger him to speak to me about it. And we all think of comfort in one term of soft and warm, comfortable. You know, we want to be by things for comfort. This chair is comfortable. We have a comfort zone. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I was amazed to know that in this time when I thought I just wanted to have him wrap his arms around me, he does. He wants to. But the biggest part isn't the wrapping of the arms. It's that he's there. And when you read the word comfort, and I'll break it down to you, we're going to have a nerd alert in a minute because I looked into Hebrew and Latin and all the other things, how words form. And it's interesting. It's like God did this to not just minister it to me, but administer it a layer at a time so that I understood it so I could be comforted. And through the course of this, I'll share some of the stuff a little bit about some of the stuff that God's working us through. But I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the first five verses. And we don't necessarily write letters anymore to people. We always do computer stuff or whatever. But, you know, or we greet people on the street and we'd say, hey, how you doing? Or we'll say, hello there, my friend, in the letter. Or hope things are well or whatever. This is a greeting. These first five verses are a greeting of Paul to the church at Corinth. And just to tell you how powerful God's word is, even the greetings will destroy the devil. Put him on the run. And Mark, you were right. That guy is dangerous. That fella is a menace to not society, but to the kingdom of darkness. And that kingdom, the prince, the power of the air, and all those other things, they're vomiting up rejection toward him. And the poor souls that are subject to that and are living in that, they just don't see. I'm not saying we see and know everything about everything. But if everyone who's attacking and throwing stuff in the river for this young man and super glue, whatever it is, if they would just stop and listen. The key is to get them to stop and to turn around. That's what repent is. Did you know that? It just means to turn around. You're repenting along and then you repent. That's how I see it anyway. But we're going to read this message, this greeting that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. We're going to read it in two versions because every time I read King James, because I grew up on it, it just sounds so, I don't know, so royal, so regal or whatever. But sometimes I hear with words and I say, what doth it mean? So I'm going to read something that will help us know what it doth mean as well. But we'll read them first from King James. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth with all the saints who are in Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now I'm going to take the lens of interpretation and turn it a little and read this, how it's worded in the message. It says, I, Paul, have been sent on a special mission by the Messiah Jesus, planned by God himself. I write this to God's congregation at Corinth and to the believers over in Achaia province. May all the gifts and benefits that come from God, our Father, and the Master Jesus Christ be yours. Timothy, someone you know and trust, is joining me in this greeting. All praise to the God and Father of our Master Jesus, the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah, but no more so than the good times of his healing comfort. We get a full measure of that one too. Interesting, the word comfort in that last interpretation, he mentioned the healing comfort at the end, but in places where we read it first, the God of all comfort, he comforts us in tribulation, the word comes alongside was used. And so I said, okay, what's up with this? So here's the nerd alert. I dug into it. I want to find out where the word comfort came from and how it was used in this context. What are you really saying here? And it says, the history of the word comfort is pretty astounding. The word is from two Latin words, com, which is an intensifying prefix that means together with, and fortis, which means strong or strength. And later, the Latin word conforte took on the meaning of to strengthen much also. And eventually, over time, a European version of the word of comfort was confortin. Are you yawning yet? Which was decidedly defined as to cheer up or to console. And finally, in the 17th century, the English version in literary works of the word adopted the European definition, which implies a sense of physical ease that we understand today. And it took about 1,000 years for the word comfort to go from together strength to meaning ease of pain or removing the pain barrier or a respite from pain. But the scripture, the word used in Paul's greeting here, the way it was worded is that he didn't say in the midst of our tribulation that he'll just stroke our heads and say, okay, little darling, I'll help you through this, whatever. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. In fact, that's as much of a godly quality we'll talk about too as anything. But here, it's like you're in desperate times, you're in chaos, and that's the time that he comes alongside. Now, that's interesting to know since the fact that he's always in us, right? If we accept Jesus into our heart, he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And you know how I feel about never. There's no end to it. He'll never leave us. So he's there. But it's kind of like he's there. People see us, but we try to show him in us. But here we hit tribulation. People throwing our stuff in the river. People gluing our instruments together. People being ugly. Here we are. We have death in our family. Here we are. We have real life tragedies. Homes are burning. Cancer, the ugly word, it reaches people in ways even still today. It hurts all of us because we haven't figured that out yet. And probably if I ask across the room, every one of us has been touched with someone who's suffering or has died because of that thing. Difficulties. And it's kind of like here's Jesus in our heart, very alive, very active. And he says, oh, my man or my woman. And he rises up and then he comes alongside. It's kind of like this. Here's how I pictured it. You can picture it any one. The devil knocks on your door. And you open the door and you got your armor on, but it don't fit just right because it's God's armor. You know, that breastplate. But you're there. You're being the warrior I'm supposed to be. It's easy to be a warrior when the war's won. But for some reason, this thing's backwards. The conflicts are still happening to us now. But the worst that can happen is we get promoted to Jesus. So anyway, we answer the door. And here he is in all of his ugly glory, his threats. He's intimidating. I'm your worst nightmare. And then from behind the door of our heart, here's Jesus steps around alongside. And all of a sudden, the devil's not looking like this. Oh. Oh. Can you imagine? Now, Jesus didn't stand there and from behind the door and pat me on the back and say, now, you're doing a good job, Kurt. You hang in there. You clench your fist real hard and you grit your teeth and you pray hard. And there's nothing wrong with praying fervent. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we associate human characteristics to things that it doesn't mean anything where the devil's concerned. You can pray easy or hard, but it's a prayer of faith. He's done. Jesus didn't have to go to the Roman soldier's place to heal his servant. He just said, wow, be it unto your faith. Stepped out from behind the door of that man's heart, and there's the enemy thing. Well, I guess that dude's going to get healed. I might as well find somebody else to bug. But we're in a time, and I don't know how, this is not going to be a very long time, I'm sure, because the Lord wants to do ministry here today. But we're at a time that when we need comfort as much or more, comfort in the sense of help alongside in our difficulties than we've ever had it. Because it's open season on the truth. It's open season on born again Christians. And have you noticed that not just in our culture or in our country, but globally, there is great tolerance for every religion. There's preferential treatment for every religion, except Christianity is not just backburnered, but attacked. Formally, physically, socially, literarily, scientifically, there are so many different things where people are coming. And if you're not clear about I know whom I've believed and I'm persuaded in your faith, it'll rock you. You hear some astrophysicist say, I don't ever think I've seen anything in all of my years of study and education that led me to believe in a benevolent divine being. And if there was such a thing, then why are there tornadoes and fires and death and diseases, blah, 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 that we can't? Well, I know how I could talk to him about it, but he's on a screen, or he's on a paper, or he's on a website. And I'm ready. And you get in a motion where you want to fight, and then here come the arrows. And it's not just one thing that's trying to rob you of your faith, but convince other people that there is no such thing as God or whatever. And not only do you need to be equipped to stand in that moment, having done all the stand, but you need to be comforted. You need to be encouraged. You need to be lifted up that what you're doing is right. If we, like in any other plan, if we choose to occupy as Christians here standing alone, we've missed it. Because first of all, we're never alone. There's always two. I'll never leave you or forsake you. There's always two. And then when you get two or three together, uh-oh. That's already a majority spiritually. Because now there's two or three where the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. Oh, and by the way, another name for the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. The one who comes alongside to lend strength, whatever his resources are. And I wonder what the resources of the Holy Spirit are when we need. Boy, now is that comforting to know that whenever you look up in the sky and there's 300 arrows flying at you and you're standing there with one shield thinking, All of a sudden, because you're standing in your faith and doing right as best you can with his help, all of a sudden your little shield is there, but then so is the other one that's with you, and so is the other one's with you. And oh, by the way, the comforter is with us. So then you have a great shield that we're protected from the arrows that fly by day. We know those arrows are. We know those attacks are going to be there. But we need not just somebody to come alongside and say, you're doing a great job. That's part of it. That's as biblical as anything. That's encouragement. But we need the comfort of confidence. The confidence of knowing not only are we not alone, but we're very much in this thing. We're very much alive. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Who forms weapons against the believer, against the body? It's the enemy. How great a weapon can he form? Well, it's not physical weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but powerful through God. His weapons are pretty much carnal. They might not just be physical. They could be mental. They could be emotional. They could be cultural. They could be media-based. They could be political. His weapons are the only thing that's limited to earth and what we know in this physical realm. He's already lost the spiritual realm. Amen? We say, well, I'm under a spiritual attack. Well, you've already won, but what are we going to do about it? You need some encouragement. You need some comfort. You need some help. Let's get it. Well, I was on my couch watching football. I got to go over there and pray with this guy. No, don't you can pray with him right there. Let's go help. If you need comfort, go give it. Then they can comfort you back. You see what that does? And I'm kind of preaching to me because I kind of need that right now. But I know I'm in a house where I have that right now. That you all will come alongside. Any one of you would come alongside any of the others that's needed. And you know, Rhonda and I, we've said this many times. More lately than earlier in our life because we've lived long enough and we've learned. When someone is in the middle of a horrible, critical situation, there's been a death in their family or something just tragically has happened. Your first inclination in the flesh is, I don't know, what can I possibly do? But as a believer, you want to help. You want to be there. And you show up. And early on, I would show up and I'd let this rupture under my nose say some things I shouldn't say sometimes. Well, I've been through blah, blah, blah. They don't need to hear that your situation. I had three car accidents. Whatever. Sometimes just being there, just say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, but I'm right here with you. I'm here. So am I. So am I. So is he. And that started a process of bringing that relief that I've needed these couple of weeks. As I was growing up, Pastor Tim's background and I are so similar because I grew up, Ron will be mad at me for saying this, I grew up and we had a boy band in the late 70s, into Jesus movement. We're a bunch of hillbilly kids in Virginia that all of a sudden we started going to church for some reason. And we knew how to hit rocks with sticks and climb trees and all this stuff. But all of a sudden we saw musical instruments and each one of us had a desire to learn a specific instrument that, what do you know? We put it all together and we could make music, and God provided that for us in this little Assembly of God church in Virginia. God sent a couple from the Norfolk, Virginia area for reasons they would say they have no idea why, but that sent them to this little holler in Virginia, to our church, just to serve. And what they did by serving is they became mentors to the young people that were my age that were becoming saved left and right. And they came one time, they said, okay, we're going to go to a, you ever seen what a Jesus festival is? No. Well, we're going to take all you boys and all you kids that want to go, we're going to go. And so we were all about going because you didn't get to get out of those hollers too often. So here we go. We went to Front Royal, Virginia. It was Jesus 76 or 77. And there was people singing that we didn't know. All we thought, living in the South, can we pause the live stream for a minute? Living in the South, that Christian music was bluegrass and hymns and, you know, well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along. Now, that might bless some people, so I'm not belittling that. I did when I was younger and got disciplined for it, but I now know better. But it was just all so, you know, I'm just a pilgrim, weary pilgrim passed through. We got there and we saw people our age talking about, listen to the trumpet of Jesus. And the world's, and we marched to the beat of a different drum and the world's just walking around lost. And we hear Carmen. And we hear, well, maybe not at that point, but we heard the Imperials, we heard the Archers, all these older, Dallas Home and Praise. Any of you here know that name? I know you guys do. He came out with a little song called Rise Again. And of course, we were playing our instruments now. We can bang chords, bang, doom, bang, doom. We can do Rise Again because it's real easy. So we started singing it. And we got invited to sing it at youth camps. And we thought, wow, since that outdoor thing we saw, it lit a fire under us. That couple came to bring comfort to us, stand alongside us, took us to a place that God wanted us to be. And he emboldened, he empowered, I can't even put into words what he did today. All of us to a point that's all we wanted to do. Whenever we had time from school or whatever, we didn't play ball. We didn't do anything else. We had our share of that growing up. But we wanted to go to the church and practice and sing and worship. And a friend of mine named Eddie, he and I, he's with Jesus now, been there for a few years, but he and I would be driving across the mountains. And we'd come up with music and the song. One time we had to stop the car on top of this mountain, get out and just walk around and shout as loud as we could, reverberating through those mountains. Praise God. And that just happened to be at a time that he needed comfort. He twisted an ankle, broke a leg, called me and said, I need to see you. Come down here. I went to his house. Papa's reading the newspaper. I said, where's Eddie? He just points. Went into this dark room. I see Eddie laying there. He's got his both legs propped up. One of them's in the cast. And God told me, don't even talk about it. Just tell him the words of this song I gave you. So I said, Eddie, I got a song. Here's your guitar. I don't want it. Here's your guitar. I'd brought comfort to him, you see. And he went with us to this thing. He was as fired up as we were about God used that effort by these other people who brought comfort and help to us and opened up our eyes to ministry. So I shared with Eddie words to a song, and he's sitting on a guitar. He said, well, I got some music here. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And he was so amazing. And I started singing, this is the man, the meek Nazarene, who though he is humble, has power supreme. He has power to give life and power to take, but he uses this power just for our sake. And back in those days, it was good to put a recitation with you. You could sing choruses, but you could put a recitation in there. You know, you could say statements. So we got to a point, and he's just playing music, and I said, this is the man, Jesus Christ. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the Prince of Peace. He is Lord, and he alone. No power in existence can compare with his power. He's produced unshakable victory from total defeat. And he's on his bed with his legs propped up. At the mere mention of his name, hope blossoms where there is no hope. Disease and sickness must release the bodies they've held captive. And even man's most feared and sinner's enemy, death, is swallowed up in victory, conquered by the only name that's above every name. And the day will come, and he's playing, when Satan himself, the enemy of the eternal soul of man, will bow his knee and confess with his tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. His name is the only name in existence that's made perfect. His strength is the only strength in existence made perfect in our weakness. And he's always available to help, to comfort, to come alongside. If we'll only call on him, this is the man. I finished that, Eddie. The guitar went one way and he came off the bed, both feet. He's walking through the house, dragging his crutch. He walks by his dad. His dad was a believer, too. He's probably sitting there praying. He walks to the little front porch of their house. I don't recommend this. This is not genuine from the American Medical Association, but he cut his cast off. Healed. God wanted me to go there to bring comfort. Oh, you poor darling. Oh, the devil's beating you up, whatever. No, get out. Comfort is a dangerous thing. We all need it. We need relief. There are times we need the softness and the pain-free environment. But we're in a world where that's a rare thing right now. You're in the military. You can get court-martialed, charged, and maybe even executed. I don't know if you're in a time of war and you're giving your aid and comfort to the enemy. You're not making them feel warm fuzzies. That means providing them with an ease to attack us back. Comfort is a whole prism of meanings to the word comfort. But I got to tell you, if I feel frustrated, and I have, and if I feel stupid, and I have, and if I've acted out, and I have, been very angry through the last few weeks, I'm not looking for a warm fuzzy. I'm looking for somebody to grab me by the shoulders and pull me up face to face with the Holy Spirit and saying, we're here. Not judge you and say, you shouldn't be doing this, acting this way. He already knows I've been doing that. He didn't run away from me when I started acting that way because he lives in here. In fact, the Bible says we're one with him. I can't tell you how that works. I'm glad it does. But I've been receiving some comfort the last 2 or 3 days. And it's interesting, it's hard to comfort yourself. Eddie got comfort and got healed, and man, what God did with that was astonishing. We were ministering at youth camps and things, and then all the rest of us were together. We ended up going to Florida, able to minister there and across the campus of the college and the communities down there. It was a wonderful thing that God did, but I say all of that to bring it to this to you. Being from the South, uncles and nephews and brothers and sisters are all about the same age. And my little grandma, little mamaw, she had kids past even her kids. And so I have an uncle who was 3 years younger than me. And he went to be with Jesus this week. And we grew up. I remember that. This is probably my very first memory because I remember it. He's 3 years younger than me, but I remember we were sitting in the little house, little coal mining house that was remodeled several times by my papaw. And me and my Uncle Steve, who's a year older, Randy's brother, my brother Terry, 2 years older than me, and we're sitting at the front door waiting for her to come in the door with little Randy. And I remember that. I got to see him come into the world, and now he's out of the world. But he's in a better place. And we don't just say that to people to make them feel good. He didn't turn into an angel. He's not in the ether out there. He's not a butterfly that's going to come and land on your flower. I'm sorry if that offends people, but he's in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah. Remember the story in the Bible about Stephen being stoned? He said, Stephen looked up and he saw Jesus standing. Well, the Bible said he was seated at the right hand of the Father. What's this? A one man standing ovation. Welcome home, son. Randy, welcome home. Now he has the greatest of comforts. The enemy is so delusional, he thinks, I killed another one. No, you didn't. You killed Jesus. And he let you do that because he knew he's going to put things right. All that this succeeded in doing is open up eternity, stepping into the presence of Jesus. The worst thing the devil can do is the thing he doesn't want to do, but he has no control over that anymore because Jesus is Lord. And we have him living in our life as the comforter, the one who comes alongside to help. He brings relief, but he also brings resource. In humanity, our resource might just be shut your mouth and just be there. But oh, not with God. When he's your comfort, when he's your resource, every word's alive. And when he walks in, when Jesus walks into a cemetery and he says, Lazarus, come forth. You think he brought comfort to those sisters of Lazarus and their family? Sure he did. But if he hadn't said Lazarus, he'd said, all of y'all get up and come forth. Everybody in there would have. Because his words mean something. His words are alive. Well, the word of God is quick and powerful. Yeah, that's the written, but the spoken word from Jesus. Oh, from us too? Yep, we have resources available in us. The Holy Spirit to come alongside others and help. Now, here's where my conundrum was, and I'll just share it with you here. If we have all these resources and help and we need comfort and so forth, why are things still going crazy? Why are things still going bad? Because we live in a world where sin is condemned in the flesh. It's condemned in the fleshly world. It's condemned in the physical world. Because of God's plan that we see darkly through a veil, we don't know and understand all of the reasoning of this time frame thing. So we're still here, our bodies still decay, but we still can push back and be a witness that there is a divine God who will ultimately save everyone who wants to be saved from this. Everyone who wants to be, whosoever will may come. Well, what about that guy that's tatted from top to bottom, and he's sitting over here in the church, best place he could be. Need to love him. Need to hug him. Even if you have to do it this way to hug him. It's not about this building. Tim said it, was it Tim or Mark said, we're a body. We come in here and we, this body, that's what you feel, Mark, when you come into this place, that you feel comfort. Do you feel comfort here? I didn't say safety. I didn't say your warm, nice blanket rolled up in your favorite chair. That's okay. But there's an enemy walking around. King James says to and fro. The real meaning is everywhere in this realm where he is, seeking whom he may devour. And you know what? It's not just unbelievers he's after. He's already got them. He don't work against them. They just... We kill ourselves, basically. It's our choice. But who is the whom he's seeking? He wants to sidetrack you. He hates. He's hate personified. We're the only ones causing a stir here. And if you're in this warfare, now the war's won. It's different because most wars, the outcome you have to come to. We already know this one's done. But here in this physical, if we come into it with spiritual resources, we weary sometimes. We need help sometimes. We need assistance. We need a brother. We need a sister. We need comfort. You know, the Bible says this. It says, God will not allow you to be tempted with anything what you're able to stand, but along with the temptation, provide for you a way of escape. Some people interpret that to mean nothing can happen to you that God can't take you out of. Yeah, but he's talking about temptation. But there are things in life that you face that you can't face alone. There are stuff in your life you can't handle all by yourself. Now, temptation, that's another story. But life, living, death, life, we need each other. That's why we're a body. That's why we need to, on purpose, not just send don't get me wrong here. Not just send an emoji saying prayers. If that's sincere, that's a wonderful thing. But what are you going to do, send a mean emoji to the devil? That's how I feel about you. No, you got a sword for that. And you got a shield for that. And if your brother, your sister's on their knees, so to speak, just doing what they can to fight, and you can't just step in and say, I'll take over. Oh, I'll take over for a while. Be at peace. Helps here. And then here comes some more, and here's another. We need that today in the body of Christ, because Christianity is on the outside looking in. And we need to let this light penetrate it. We need to bring the comfort that the world needs. I'm in need of comfort. We're all in need of comfort. I'm really glad I had this opportunity to share this during this time with you guys. Would you please stand with me? Tim, I got halfway through. I'm going to read four verses verbatim that says the word comfort. John 14:16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 14:26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I say to you. John 15:26. But when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you, it's expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the comforter can't come, will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. He will send himself. He'll come back in the person of the Holy Spirit to be that comfort, that friend. Another word in that translation means a friend who comes alongside, if you read it in different versions. Let's bow our heads, please. This is one of those services where if you'd like to respond, I'd like to respectfully request this. Keep your eyes closed in an attitude of prayer, because I think there's a lot more people that need comfort more than me. And if that's you, just show me your palm. You can raise your hand, just figure it out. Let's, so we can. Yep. So we'll pray the prayer, then we'll be dismissed from here. And then we'll have the mindset that not only do we need, but to get the comfort we need, we also need to give it, to be available to come alongside. Father, thank you for the privilege to share your word. To one more time, in a spiritual way, I don't glory in it. I don't take anything in it, Lord. But to be able to push back against the enemy one more time is a wonderful thing. Because in that effort to bring comfort to the lost and to the believers, you're glorified, and good things come out of it. Everyone here who's identified themselves to you, that they need the comfort that we've talked about today, Lord, I pray that you'll open resources, you'll speak to the right people, you'll bring up, even seemingly out of the blue, bring up the solutions to people and draw people to one another to be that help and that comfort that's needed for everyone. Not just prayer comfort, but present, being present comfort, being mindful, being following up, encouragement comfort. All this, not just to defeat the enemies, that's a wonderful thing, or just to heal the bodies, that's an amazing thing, but to glorify you and bring other souls to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.